If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
After classified documents were found in his old think tank office, President Biden said yesterday, "People know I take classified documents, classified information seriously." He then added, "Even the aliens at Area 51 know that. Damn it!"
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actor Gerard Butler. But first, a closer look.
The slim new Republican majority in the House is now trying to move on after last week's unprecedented meltdown with an incredibly weak Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, who has openly admitted that he's indebted to Donald Trump for his position, even though it was Trump himself who tanked the party in the midterms and gave him such a narrow majority. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The new Republican majority in the House is finally getting to work after a week of paralyzing chaos in which a newly minted Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, acceded, in fact, one could even say capitulated, to the demands of the far-right extremists in the caucus. And just to give you an idea of how nuts the next 2 years are going to be with this crew in charge, one of the newly elected members of McCarthy's conference is Montana Republican Ryan Zinke, who was Donald Trump's first Interior Secretary until he was forced to resign after a series of scandals, including a real estate deal, conflicts of interest, and a $6,000 round-trip helicopter flight to meet Vice President Mike Pence for an afternoon horseback ride. First of all, I'm surprised Mike Pence would ever engage in such an unnatural activity as horseback riding. Man and beast were not meant to consort in such a devilish fashion. Also, I can't imagine Pence riding a regular trail horse. He seems to have more of a dressage horse kind of vibe. I mean, have you ever seen him run? He prances like one of those stallions at the Olympics. I mean, look at him. Also, you guys, clapping while running is not a good look. He looks like he should be holding two coconuts, Monty Python style. I'm guessing this is what Trump had in mind when he sicked that mom on Pence on January 6th.
He's faster than he looks, but the clapping gives away his location.
Anyway, Trump's scandal-plagued Interior Secretary is now a member of the new GOP majority in the House, and when he took to the floor this week for his first speech as a member of Congress, he made clear that this new Republican conference is going to be pretty far out there. When he claimed that a secret cabal of leftists is running the government from behind the scenes. Now, Republicans say stuff like that all the time, but Zinke had a different spin on it when he identified a new target that the leftist deep state is supposedly after.
I stand before you as a duly elected member of the United States Congress and tell you that a deep state exists and it is perhaps the strongest covert weapon the left has against the American people. There is no doubt the federal government deep state coordinates with liberal activists and uses politicians and willing media to carry their water. The deep state runs secret messaging campaigns with one goal in mind, to increase its power to censor and persuade the American people. Dark money groups funded by liberal billionaires and foreign investors funnel money to shell organizations and repeatedly attempt to destroy the American West. In many cases, they want to wipe out the American cowboy completely.
You think the American cowboy is getting wiped out? Have you not heard about Yellowstone? This is the best four-year run for American cowboys since it was legal to advertise cigarettes. Do you know how many people in America watch Yellowstone? Every single dad. And just a word to those dads, when you talk to your kids on the phone, you don't have to tell them every single time that Beth Dutton is a real number. Not that she isn't. It's just weird that you keep telling us and that you whisper when you do it, like you don't want mom to hear. Because newsflash, dude, she'd trade you in for Kevin Costner yesterday. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be so hard on my dad. I mean, I get it. I'm a dad now, and as a dad, I just want to say, that Beth Dutton is a real number. But I'll give Zinke credit. The deep state wants to cancel cowboys as a new one. Usually they're like, the army is woke now, or the socialist mob is trying to cancel conservatives. But now I guess the idea is that the CIA, the FBI, and the Pentagon all get together behind closed doors with AOC, Antifa, and Bernie Sanders to plot how to eliminate cowboys. No one person should have a 10-gallon hat. When in fact, 10 people should all have a 1-gallon hat. How many gallons does one hat need? 99% of the people shouldn't have 0% of the gallons. So that's a window into how unhinged the next 2 years are going to be with these loons in charge of the House. And it makes sense that Republicans have revived one of Trump's disgraced cronies, because Kevin McCarthy himself is personally indebted to Trump. The drama that unfolded last week was essentially an extension of the ongoing GOP war between establishment Republicans and the Trump wing of the party. And the Trump wing won. In fact, after McCarthy finally crawled over the finish line on the 15th ballot by yielding, perhaps even relenting to the demands of the MAGA wing of his party, McCarthy openly thanked Trump for his support.
The fight that Kevin McCarthy is having right now is a continuation of the GOP civil war, and these conservatives are saying to themselves, well, we need to fight now, we need to put a marker down now, so that if he does pick up the gavel, McCarthy is not going to so easily acquiesce to everything that the Biden administration wants.
I do want to especially thank President Trump. I don't think anybody should doubt his influence. He was with me from the beginning. Somebody wrote the doubt of whether he was there, and he was all in. He would call me, and he would call others. And he really was, I was just talking to him tonight, helping get those final votes. And he was a great influence to make that all happen. So thank you, President Trump.
I actually believe that, because the only thing Donald Trump is good at is making phone calls. Remember when he used to call into Fox and Friends and just ramble for a full hour while the host sat there frozen like they were watching Mike Pence run? Making calls is Trump's only skill. All he has to do is sit there in his pajamas in front of his television and ramble for an hour about toilets or windmills until the person on the other end of the call says, fine, I'll give in, I'll vote for Kevin. Just stop talking about how many times you have to flush. Incidentally, Kevin McCarthy needed the exact same number of ballots to become speaker as the number of times Trump needs to flush his toilet.
People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once.
See? 15 ballots, 15 flushes. No wonder these guys are best buds. Don't feel bad, Kevin. Don't feel bad. If it took 15 times, that just means you're a giant turd. Now, here's the crazy part. Trump is arguably the reason McCarthy was in this position to begin with. Trump and his cult of MAGA weirdos dragged the GOP down in the midterms. Without Trump, Republicans probably would have met historical expectations, and there very well could have been a red wave, as pundits were predicting. And if there had been a red wave, McCarthy would have had a much larger margin in the House instead of the tiny margin he has now, in which case he wouldn't have needed to spend 4 days begging and pleading with a small group of extremists in his party to support him. In short, if Trump hadn't wrecked the Republican Party, McCarthy probably would have only needed to run for Speaker one time, as opposed to
15 times.
And yet, by tanking the party in the midterms and reigniting a civil war within the GOP, Trump has somehow wormed his way back into a position of influence with the new Speaker of the House and his gang of bozos and doofuses like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been calling for Joe Biden to be impeached basically since he took office. Greene, who is, of course, a Trump fanatic, will now be in a position of major influence in the House after she formed a close alliance with McCarthy and backed his bid for Speaker. And this week, she once again called for Biden's impeachment now that Republicans hold a majority in the House.
What do you think about the documents that, the classified documents that were found at President Biden's library from his time as vice president?
Oh my gosh, I think we need to investigate the Bidens nonstop. I've been very vocal in impeaching Joe Biden, and hopefully we can get that done this Congress.
Oh my gosh. First of all, it's funny to me that because she's in the majority now, Greene is trying to sound less like a wacko. She went from claiming wildfires are caused by Jewish space lasers to sounding like a shrinking violet from a Tennessee Williams play. Oh my gosh, well, I do declare that we must ever so kindly impeach Mr. Joseph R. Biden. Now, would y'all like a biscuit and a glass of sweet tea? Now, you've all heard about the Mar-a-Lago search that turned up stolen classified documents. Well, this week, we also learned that lawyers for Biden found a few classified documents from his time as vice president in a private office. They immediately notified authorities at the National Archives and had the documents returned. And then right as we started taping this show, we found out that Biden aides had found a second batch of classified documents at a new location, with NBC News reporting that the classification level number and precise location of the additional documents was not immediately clear. So we don't have all the details yet, and as they come out, we'll definitely discuss them. But so far, the two situations seem very different.
The difference here is that according to the White House, it was the president's legal team that reached out to NARA to turn over these documents, as opposed to with Trump, who fought for months and months not to turn over documents that the archive said needed to be turned over. The FBI said it obtained evidence showing that boxes of documents were being moved from a storage room where they were supposed to be kept. And that prompted the Justice Department to open an obstruction investigation and conduct the extraordinary search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, where the FBI says they found even more classified documents.
So a few similarities, but mostly huge differences. Calling them the same is like calling both of these guys Olympic sprinters. When Biden's lawyers found the small number of documents, they immediately turned them over. Trump, on the other hand, kept refusing. The FBI kept finding more documents, totaling over 300, even after Trump claimed he'd handed them all over. He was even moving boxes of classified documents around for some reason, which is suspicious, no matter what's inside. If I had a box that I kept moving every time my wife asked me to get rid of it, she'd start to get curious, even though I clearly labeled it work stuff, not action figures I overpaid for on eBay. Biden voluntarily handed them over without even being asked. Trump, on the other hand, was given multiple opportunities to come clean and refused. And yet, that has not stopped newly empowered Republicans from equating the two situations in the dumbest way possible.
Why aren't they in there right now with subpoenas going through every single record there?
Where's
classified
the raid?
Documents. Right. Where is the raid? And let me.
Where's the FBI raid?
We have a quote here from Representative James Comer from the Oversight Committee who said, quote, is the White House going to be raided tonight? Are they going to raid the Biden Center?
Monday night in a post, Trump asked, when is the FBI going to raid the many homes of Joe Biden? Perhaps even the White House.
The FBI doesn't raid someone who's already cooperating. FBI, we're here for the documents. Oh, yeah, we turned them in yesterday. Oh! Oh, okay. You seem bummed. Yeah, no, it's just, we put on our windbreakers and everything, and, would you mind, is this dumb? Can we kick in your door? No, it is dumb. We're gonna go. The only way it would ever make sense to raid someone who's cooperating with the feds is if they're a secret undercover informant and you're trying to maintain their cover. But I don't think that's the case here because Biden, look, Biden would make a bad undercover cop. He's too loud. He makes too many gaffes. Hey, you guys doing a illegal drug deal here? I like illegal drugs. Why don't you guys sell me some of those illegal drugs? I'm not a cop. I'm just your average
American cowboy.
Of course. Even then, Biden would trip on the stairs and his secret microphone would fall out and he'd yell for back out, Scorpio, Scorpio, my cover's blown. Get me out of here. I'm on the 10th stair, 9th stair. 10th stair, 9, 8. For the next 2 years, we're going to have a narrow Republican majority led by a historically weak Speaker of the House, captive to far-right extremists and indebted to an ex-president who stoked an insurrection because Trump tanked the GOP in the midterms, McCarthy is now the most feeble speaker in modern memory. If not for Trump, McCarthy would probably be a much stronger speaker with a much stronger majority. When the extremists made their demands, he wouldn't have had to
acquiesce.
And he certainly wouldn't have had to do it
15 times.
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know our guest tonight from films like 300 and the Olympus Has Fallen franchise. He stars in and produced Plane, which is in theaters Friday. Please welcome back to the show our friend Gerard Butler, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Where have you been in my life?
I know. I'm so happy to see you. I want to start, first of all, Happy New Year. I know it's a couple weeks ago, but, you know, you're an international movie star. I feel like you have a wealth of options on New Year's Eve. And you spent it in Times Square.
Yeah, well, now you put it like that. It's pretty sad. Yeah.
You should have put it like that, like, you know, December 21st. And been like, what am I doing?
No, my friends wanted to go. I swear it wasn't me.
Okay.
And I didn't want to be a party poop. But we're also friends with Duran Duran. So we thought, well, that would be kind of fun.
All right, seeing Duran Duran live. Now it makes sense.
Yeah. But it didn't really go according to plan.
Okay.
Because we arrive in this room, which seemed to be the guest of Duran Duran. But when we finally go to the stage, and it's about maybe just before 11 at this point, it was almost a 25-minute walk. I'm not joking. We go through hotels and round avenues and through blockades and then other hotels. And then we finally get to this place, and it's a Disney party. So everybody's looking at us like, what are you guys doing here? So we go, okay, well, the stage must be outside. So we walk outside, and there's these two barriers. There's like 500,000 people this side, 500,000 people that side, and just us, five of us, on our own, with everybody now screaming at us. I thought, maybe I'm supposed to do a performance or something. Yeah. So we say to somebody, well, where's the stage? And they're like, oh, no, the stage is like five blocks that way. And we can't even see the stage. So now we're running desperately, and everybody's trying to pull us back into this party, saying, well, will you take a photo with so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. and we're begging. We can't even get into the main throng of the crowd. So and the police want that. They all want photos, but then we say, so can we go through? And they go, no, you can't go through.
So these are police officers that want a picture with you, but then we'll not let you through.
Nobody can go through this way. And then I'm getting stopped by everybody, so I end up putting on one of those ridiculous hats. So I'm running around with these. But what if somebody photographs me and I look?
I like that someone would be like, I think that's Gerard Butler. And they'd be like, no, he would never wear a hat that dumb.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the argument my friends used. And then at one point, it was now about 11:30, and we have been 20 minutes by these 20 porta potties in the pissing rain.
Yeah.
We thought, this is it. This is how we're going to spend our new year, by the porta potties. And we don't even know which part, where we're at. And then finally, we found the greeter, and they took us just as Duran Duran were coming on. And we were at this barrier, and they, as Simon Le Bon walks up the stage, they open the barrier, and suddenly we run up the stairs, and we're right there, 3 feet from the stage. It's quarter to midnight. The ball drops.
So in the end, it worked.
So in the end, it worked. But I say I've ticked that one off my bucket list. I think I'm good with Times Square. I think I'm good with Times Square generally.
Yeah. It's not like it rises to the occasion on the other days. Yeah. So this is fantastic. This is an action movie. I think the kind of fun that we expect from you in a film. And I will say, I really love the title Plane. I like that it's just coming right in. It's telling you what to expect. I got to admit, though, I think sometimes maybe movie studios would overthink this and come up with something more complicated than Plane.
I couldn't agree more. I have to say, in its defense, at one point it was changed to The Plane.
Okay. Huge mistake.
Yeah. No, when we were filming, suddenly on the script, it said the plane. But look at Flight. Look, you know, yeah. And this is a classic action movie. I mean, it's really a throwback to those. And I think we have them less and less. They're all superhero, Star Wars. They're great. But I miss those movies where you have the John McClane, you know, the Bruce Willis, the Harrison Ford. And you know, so I actually think a title like that really allows you to feel into it. You can kind of make your own decisions on it. And it actually is not all on a plane. It's very plane-centric.
Yeah.
But that's only the start of it after this kind of really quite a... I mean,
yeah, you're on an island.
Yeah.
So you could have called it Island.
Plane and Island. Yeah.
Dude, like halfway through, you should have just broke the fourth wall, turned to the camera and gone, the movie's called Island now.
I'm out of here. Okay.
No. No, I like talking. I mean, you are, ever since the first time I met you, you have always been in these films where I feel like you put yourself at great physical risk, and yet there's all these stunts, all this action. But I have heard that you hurt yourself more on this film pretending to fix a plane.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I managed to, no matter what I'm doing, I managed to hurt myself. I feel like every time I come on.
Are you naturally clumsy?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was on the scene where you just saw the clip, I'm trying to find that something that's wrong with the plane before we can take off for this final sequence. And it's something in the wheel. So it's a brake. Now I'm sticking my hand between these two wheels, kind of pretending that I know what I'm doing. And it's so shut. Whatever's in there is like, every time I bring my hands out, they're covered in blood and green fluid, right? And I'm like, I don't know what this green fluid is. We're also shooting in Puerto Rico. So I'm covered in sweat and the adrenaline, we're out, and the nose is running, everything. And I guess, especially with COVID, you realize why this thing spreads, right? Because I'm rubbing my face and suddenly it's in my throat, it's in my mouth, it's up my nose, it's in my eyes, it's burning my face. And I mean burning. And it turns out this is essentially phosphoric acid. And the airline pilots that were there watching, no, they're trying to put water in my face. Don't put water, it'll make it worse. And I'm just like burning a lot. So it was intense. And it burned for hours, but it was great for the...
It
was great for the secrets.
And anything for the work.
Anything for the work, yeah.
I like... Knowing everything I know about COVID protocols these days on movie sets, there were probably 10 people there making sure nobody gave each other COVID and not one person,
not one person
keeping you from putting acid on your face.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, this is a true credit to you, and I can't believe, and I also want to say I'm crediting you that you never told me this story before. You actually, real life, saved a human being. This is not a movie. This is not... character work. When you fished someone from a river.
Yeah. I've saved a couple of human beings, but this one...
Save it for next time.
Yeah, exactly.
Save one for next time.
Actually, when I just started acting, the place that I'd filmed my first movie, it was a beautiful place with this River Tay in Scotland, but it's cold and it has a lot of undercurrent. But it was a beautiful summer's day. And I say to my mom, let's go where I stayed, this hotel that I stayed at. And we're both just lying there and we fall asleep. And suddenly I hear the screaming. And I wake up, I say to the woman next to me, is there somebody in trouble? She goes, I don't know. And nobody seems to take notice of this. And so I go over this hill and sure enough, there's this boy in the middle of the river. And he disappears underwater, and then he comes back up, and then he does it, and he looks dead to me. And all I could think was, I wish I was a heavier sleeper. Because I'm like, what am I, you know, I know I'm going to go in there, but I just wish I hadn't woken up. And I did. So there's part of it. Yeah, I've got courage, but clumsy as hell.
Yeah.
I did probably the worst rescue attempt. So I swim out, and then I grab him, but I didn't go back. So I was kind of like, you know.
Yeah. Holding his head underwater.
The kid was basically, you know, his eyes were wide open and we get him back. Now,
how old was he when you say
he was 13?
Okay, gotcha.
And we get back, and now I'm just holding him, and he's lying there. And I think if we'd been left to that, he would have died, because I didn't know what to do.
He probably was looking up, being like, oh, anybody but Gerard Butler.
Well, especially in the position we were in.
Yeah.
That's another one. So And this guy stood, came over and gave him the Heimlich maneuver, and he threw up, and then he, you know, came to, and then he was, and then he was, and then he was fine. And actually, I got an award for bravery from the British Humane Society for that.
There you go. Now this is really special. You stayed in touch with him over the years. He's 13 at the time, and he got married recently, and his best man reached out to you and asked if you'd make a video for his wedding, which I assume you took this seriously.
I did. This is why I ended up producing movies, because I'm such a perfectionist that I didn't just. I think I spent the whole day putting this together, because I thought I got to do a good job here. They're going to show it for the wedding, and so I think I recorded four, and it took like 6 hours. And I went, what am I doing? This is ridiculous, you know. But it was actually because he wrote me a letter after that when he was 13, and it was very sweet. And suddenly to feel that the best man had got in touch, saying it would be so amazing if you did this speech for him. You know, obviously my career had changed a little bit, so they would actually know who I was then. And I recorded this.
And you were kind enough to bring it with you. So this is the video that played at the wedding.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Nicola. Congratulations. Danny, I haven't seen you for a while. Since you were about 13, we lost you on the River Tay in Scotland, and I pulled you out. And there you are today, and I'm getting married. So it's kind of a cool moment. I have to say, I was quite moved when I heard this, because you're responsible for me getting an award from the British Humane Society, and you know, for the older aunts and uncles, close your ears, but you have no idea how often that's got me laid. But I'm asking for nothing for you guys, except maybe to name your firstborn Jerry, boy or girl, or you know, all your kids Jerry.
Bravo! Gerard Butler, everybody! Humane Society Award winner, Plane, is in theaters Friday.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.